Blog Talk Radio.
I pray to you, God, whom I call Allah, that you connect our hearts as one and grant us like-mindedness to be able to move forward in a manner that will unify us on one accord, to honor our ancestors, respect our elders, and properly educate our children, strengthen our families, and rebuild our community.
Welcome, everybody. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here with us, and for that, we're grateful. We're starting off again, you know. Hope everybody is in good health. Hope everybody, you know, had a, you know, good day. I basically kind of want to pick up where we kind of left off at, because what we're dealing with is, to me, as I said, you know, it did slavery ever end for us? I know we've been given a picture. A picture has been painted for us of how we were treated during slavery, and it feels like, okay, we're free now. However, to me, as I examine how America operates when it comes to black people particularly, I still have to question, are we still considered slaves? And do the slave stigma leave a stain not only on us, but on other people and how they treat us? Let's go into the latest thing that happened. And the latest thing that happened was with the young brother, Tyree, the 29-year-old, beaten to death by 5 black police. Now, anybody on the line, do you even think those same 5 black police would have even put their hands on a whiteboard or anybody other than a black person? So the slave scenario, me personally, this is my personal belief, I don't see a benefit in it for us. I don't see that we benefited from accepting the scenario of we were slaves over 300-400 years ago. I don't see a scenario of us saying that we're free now, because we're still fighting for laws for us to be treated as human beings, to be treated equally as other people in this country. And we have to start asking ourselves why. Why are we fighting for laws? Here you have Al Sharpton at the speaking at the funeral of Tyree, saying they're fighting for the George Floyd law to be passed so the cops can be held accountable. Why do laws have to be passed for cops to be held accountable when it comes to us? How is that even possible, that laws have to be passed so black people can be treated in a certain manner? That don't sound like slavery to you? That don't sound like, you know, what was going on in the 60s and beyond that? That don't sound like, so how come years later, over 40-something years later, we still fighting the same fight? Anybody on the line who's listening, feel free to chime in. Press 1, feel free to chime in. Maybe you got some answers that I don't see that can help me understand this. Yes, call it. You're on. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Good evening. This is Miles. How you doing?
How you doing, my brother Miles?
I'm doing good. Listen, last week your mom was on Sunday.
Right.
I was just letting her know. I applaud what the lady did when she arrested them cops like that. But I'm saying, all all police chiefs should do that to any cop that do something like that, white, black, Spanish, no matter what. That's what I was trying to mention to her. But now what you're speaking on is this, about the law. If you ever look at the White House and look at the Senate, them guys is in their 80s, late 70s, 80s. They stuck on the history back then. They make the laws. Until we get rid of them, get them out of that Senate, them old men who believe that they more superior than blacks, them laws are going to stay the same. You ever notice when we do get one law changed, they vote to make another law even worse than the one they just changed? Because that's how they take control. You got to get them old people out of the Senate, out of that White House, making up these laws. Because, you know, you got a guy that's 70 years old, you go way back in the 50s with him, and he believed, we less than they are anyway. So once we get rid of them, things could get better because they make the laws, and the old guys, they the ones vote on that law. And you can't change their mind.
Yeah, I agree. Now, however, what are we going to do until then? These guys, you know, they get the chance to die up in there. You know what I'm saying? It's not a time limit like, okay, with president, where you can do 4 years and you're out there, they can die in there. As long as they keep getting voted in, they get the chance to die in there. And unfortunately, what happens a lot of times, because here you have, you know, the young guy, remember the young guy that went into the store and shot the black people and the other guy that went into the store that shot the black people. These were young guys. You know what I mean? These were young guys. So that tells you that that mentality is trickling down.
Yeah, you know? because when they get on them websites and read that hatred stuff, they follow because they believe that these white people who are in charge got their back. See, and we as black people, we got to stop thinking that this slavery thing, put it in our head. Get it out of your head. You're not a slave. You can make things happen. You can change things. Stop thinking because, oh, they this, they that, this is going to happen. You can make change. I think one of our other problems is that we got too many black people won't even go out there and vote for a change. Because the first thing they say, oh, my vote won't count. And when you're thinking that way, you automatically lost. And then we got to convince other outside our race to help us change that, because a lot of black people don't want to vote to change stuff because they don't believe things are going to change. That's one of the mentality we got to get out of.
I'm hoping that we can be able to see the thing is, the way I see it is the laws that they put together, as you said, when something, one law they get rid of, they put another law to make it more stringent. So really what the whole slavery thing was all about, from my perspective, is that it was about the laws that prohibited us from doing certain things and had us incarcerated when we did do certain things. And that's what's happening today, because certain things prohibit us to be able to do. You know, let's do an example. Let's think about the weed, for instance. Selling weed, it was they locked plenty of individuals up for selling weed.
Right.
Now that they made it legal, they got stipulations in place where how many black people are going to really be able to own a dispensary? When the first guideline is you got to have $1 million in cash asset to get started. How many black people sitting on $1 million?
If you notice that now, about 4 or 5 years ago when they first started talking about this, they gave everybody opportunity to invest in it, but nobody wanted to jump on it because they didn't think it was going to happen. Now that it's happened, they know this product makes a lot of money. They take it off the street, out of the drug dealer's hands, and put it in their hands, and they charge us more than the guy on the block do. See,
absolutely.
Like you said, like you said, now look what happened. Like the laws. We wasn't even allowed to vote back then. We wasn't even allowed to read a book or any of that because that's the law they made. That's the rules they made. But see, as the rules get changed, you rest them old people up in that Senate up there. They say, no, we're not voting on that. No, we're going to shut this down. Everybody knows that the George Floyd bill should have passed already. They should have known that. But them old heads said, no, we're not doing that. If you put cops accountable for what they do and you could sue them, I guarantee you they'll start thinking about, like, if I go out here and do something stupid, I could lose my house, my pension, the whole nine yards. But they won't let that bill pass. They trying to do that now in the White House. When they said that putting over here, I don't know if y'all ever heard of an organization called POP in New Jersey. They all over. People of progress.
I heard of People of Progress.
Yeah, what we're trying to do, I'm a member of that. What we're trying to do, get a law passed where that these cops be accountable for what they do. If you murder somebody, we have a right to sue you for everything you have. You know how they always have these silver suits? And who end up paying that?
Right.
The taxpayers. Come out
Absolutely.
Of your pocket.
Absolutely.
But see,
Absolutely.
What we're trying to get a law passed now, especially over here in Newark, try to get them to put, no, we're going to sue the cop. The cop got to pay for this. He get to lose everything he had. And they fighting that. But if you put that in law, can you imagine how many cops are thinking about what they're going to do when they go out in the streets? They could lose their pen.
Now let's think about who the law is being put together for. Who is being most targeted by police and being murdered and mistreated and have to talk to police a certain way? It's us.
Exactly.
So any type of way it was beyond us, then it wouldn't have to be passed. It wouldn't be a question, because during the time of the George Floyd law, the Asian law was passed about violence against Asians. So laws be passed. See, what we're going to have to do really is learn how to play the game of politics. Politics is a business.
That's why Elijah Muhammad said.
We think it's people who get going into something and they obligated to do the right thing. No, these are criminal minds that come into something to make money and be safe doing what they doing these criminal acts, being safe because they're able to manipulate the law so that they don't have to go to prison. You know? So
that's what Louis Farrakhan tell us. Practice the white man's law. You practice the white man law and use it against them.
Right. So with that being said, what we have to do, too, is, you know, we push voting. However, what we're going to have to do to change our scenario, start buying these politicians like everybody else do. They ready to be bought and sold. You know what I'm saying? Once you have money obligated to date now, we as a people, more than likely, is one of the only people that don't put no money in the game. We think it's just about voting.
Right.
Other nationalities put money in the game. You know what I mean? What
they
say,
don't want
to. The one who paid the fiddler choose the tune.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So once we start paying, go ahead.
You know, because white America is scared of blacks. Because they saw what we did over 100 years ago with Black Wall Street and all the other black business, we thrive without them. They saw what we're capable of, our intelligence, and it scares the hell out of them. So they got to keep us down. They got to change the law. Because like you said, those five black cops, to beat on that black brother like they did, showed me one time, like this guy on John Hannity on Fox News, he said black cops beat on white kids all the time, but nobody ever seen that on TV. Where's the proof of that at?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, ain't
because,
no black cop.
Because a joker like John Hannity,
yeah,
he always try to make it. He always trying to make it like, oh, poor blacks, white people go through things too. No, he's one of the reasons, and he's not that old. He's one of the reasons where they want to keep that scenario going. Now, give you something else. For us as any nationality other than white, we really should be offended that we have a place called the White House making laws for everybody. We all should be offended.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So that alone, you know, solidifies the separation. You know, like, okay, why do you call it the White House? Why isn't it called the People House? Because it should represent the people, not just white people.
Exactly.
So that's a problem in itself. You know.
Exactly.
Now another problem we have is any other nationality, they have a month, a heritage month. We get Black History Month.
Shortest month of the year.
We get Black History Month. And not just the point of that. Not just the point is the shortest month. It's that one is the heritage. The heritage means what information you got been passed down through generations.
Right.
History means somebody else is telling your story. You don't even have the luxury of this is your story. This has been passed down to you. Our story hasn't really been passed down to us. The whole slavery scenario we brought into being, we were people who were free. We were free in this country prior to Europeans coming here talking about their settlers and their newcomers. We were free. We were living amongst each other, trading amongst each other. There was no need for fences and gates because we were migrating from different areas for depending on the weather. We were migrating. You know, we'll go to this land for the summer. We come back and we'll leave this one and go to this land for the summer. We were migrating, so there was no need for us to start fencing stuff off.
Right.
Once they came here with an agenda to build a utopia for themselves at our expense. And the slavery thing came into play because once they took over our land, then they started putting laws together that prevented us from getting our land back. So now they own your land.
Right.
And now they done put laws together that prevents you from getting it back. Now, how are you going to – now they done took land where you used to farm and eat. Now they tell you, well, this is my land. Now when you farm and eat, you got to break me off a piece of it.
And
you got to let
only
me eat off of that.
That ain't the only thing they did to us either. They took our sons away from us, our fathers away from us, separated them, sell them off to other properties. You got your son, he's like 13. You got him working in some farmland way down in South Dakota somewhere, and you over here in Pennsylvania, and he don't understand what's going on at a young age. Because I always believe that, like you said, our heritage is supposed to come from our family. Our grandparents passing on to us, and we passing on to our kids.
Yeah.
And keep
Absolutely.
It going, keep it going. But you don't see that no more. Not too many of us own houses like we should. Own our own property.
Right. Now, it's funny that you said they used to take our sons and, you know, send them here and send them there. They're still doing that. They're still doing that with the laws. Look. When your son, if your son happened to get caught up in a certain law, where do they take him? They take him all the way down South Jersey somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Now you're all the way down to South Jersey farming. The same stuff that was happening supposedly 200-300 years ago is still happening. This is the thing. This is why I say, what was the benefit of them telling us that we was free when they got the same laws in place that was put there supposedly 300 years ago? They haven't changed the laws.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you become free when you still have the same laws put you in bondage in the first place? You know,
I heard I was checking out this documentary that down some parts of Louisiana, they still got black people down on slavery camps down there. And they don't understand how that's still possible to this day.
Well, it's supposed to be possible.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and we get treated like we don't even belong here. But you treat
because they convinced us. They convinced us. See, this is why we brought you over here to this country is so important. And the narrative of treating us like we don't belong here. We have to stop allowing that. If we don't change nothing else, we have to stop saying, look, we weren't brought nowhere. We weren't brought nowhere. We were here. We were here, and you guys basically manipulated us out of the land, manipulated us. And because if you come to a country and you change the language, and now you got a whole different language other than what we speak. Now we signing. We don't know that we just signed our land away.
Yeah, because we don't understand what we signing.
Exactly. Now,
and then when we try to take
same
it,
thing. Go ahead.
And then when
the
they
same
try
thing
to take
it,
yeah, they and what they tell you? Did you know what you were signing? No. Well, why did you sign it? Because he said this and you said that. They said, well, you don't supposed to sign anything you don't know. But see, you're right. Manipulation, it works.
Right. Manipulation and technology. And they're using the same tactics. They're using the same tactics today. This is another thing. With the laws, you think black people are the first people to sell drugs to build their foundation? You think no other nationality sold drugs to build their foundation? Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they sold drugs to build their foundation. However, think about how many individuals who had millions of dollars, mansions, cars, was really trying to make a transition, and FBI came and took it all. Took it all.
Exactly.
So this is the thing with us abiding by a law that wasn't true to us from the beginning. And that's
you
the thing.
Point you and a white guy get the same charge, he get a smack on the wrist, you get 34 years.
Right. So
like how
this
is, that
is what's happening to us.
And what they always say, he got a good lawyer. It ain't no lawyer. You got a different color.
It's a scenario that has been put in place. Why do you think they keep saying the slavery thing? They keep bringing it up for the past, but really they acting it out right now in front of you. They saying it happened in the past, but they really doing the same thing right now to you. And the only way that we can prevent it is to be like we were. Segregation was our power.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Once we integrated, we lost more than we gained. Yeah, we got a few rich people, but we had more people who were wealthy at that time. And your brilliant minds stayed in your neighborhood. They didn't leave your neighborhood. Go ahead.
Dick Gregory said the same thing. He said, I remember some of these towns. You had black restaurants, black owners, and all this. Now you go down there, what you see? Hong Kong King, Mira Penteono, and all that, and nothing black.
Right. So it, and many of us, I had the pleasure to be able to see black-owned businesses in my lifetime. So many of us never seen it. I even remember when the Nation of Islam had the staking tapes all over the place.
I used to work in a staking tape.
And this was during the 70s. So the 70s was a good time because this was after Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. Now we had fought, and it was kind of a little breakthrough for that decade.
Right.
We had that breakthrough. When the 80s came, they said, "Oh no, these guys, they really about to be free if we don't put something in play." They started telling Farrakhan that he couldn't order his fish from out of the country.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So how, this is what I'm saying. Are we free or are we slaves? Because you going to tell me I can't order my, who is you to tell me who I can order from? I got to order from you because you want me to be beholden to you? You don't want me to do like you doing, to have world-class connections, so I don't even need you. And that's
exactly
what we have to start doing. Yeah.
Exactly. Because if you think about it, during the middle 70s back then, that's when they started flooding California with drugs.
Absolutely. During the 70s, it was cocaine.
Yeah.
Cocaine wave. They figured out people were still able to prosper just sniffing. You know what
exactly.
I mean? People were sniffing, they were still able to prosper. They was able to maintain a decent lifestyle, sniff this, that. But then you notice once they had Richard Pryor came out supposedly getting burnt from Basin, that's when the crack started flooding everything.
Yep.
That's when the crack era came. And then from that point then is what we have is the residual effects of what we see now. See, during the 80s,
they got out of control.
right. Well, we made so much money, especially if you was a drug dealer during that time. You made so much money so fast it blew your mind.
Speaking on that too, because I remember marijuana. When you get them, like them sandwich glass sandwich bags, they fill them up. You can pay like $15 for a big bag like that. And everybody had weed back then. Everybody on the corner selling joint, nickel bags, making money.
Right. So then you wasn't hurting to go to a job because when the factories were available, you had decent paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, they moved all the factories to other countries. Now, it's hard to find a job. Now, once they did that, now you got to take what you can get. And now they're controlling the minimum wage.
Yeah, because when they moved on factories, they took on the cheap labor.
Right, exactly.
Nikes cost $12 to make a pair.
Right.
And they go over there, buy them, and bring them over here and charge us what? Rent money.
Exactly. So what we have to do, as a people, we have to reconnect with each other. We have to start taking the time. We have to get the young people involved. We have to find a way to get the young people involved as well, because what's going on now, the only way we can combat it is to be able to trust each other enough to put money in each other's hand. And you see, The Latinos then gave us a blueprint. So we had the blueprint of what we need to do. We just sometimes get too arrogant and selfish to be able to make it happen. You see Latinos where you can have 10 of them in the house, and other nationalities, and they stay there and build their money up, and each one get them a house.
And then, yo, man, I'm glad you brought that up, because we went to school with this little Spanish kid. He used to come in there with like holy jeans, you know, raggedy sneakers like that. And his family was like 12 of them in an apartment building. And they all had jobs, and every week they put their paycheck together. Now, within a year, they brought the supermarket on a corner store, on a corner from their house. And a year after that, they brought the building that they lived in.
There you go.
And I used to always tell my brothers, you know, about how that happened. Now, Brother Tony, Nation of Islam, he told me, see, that's how you do. They stick together. If we as black people do the same thing, we don't need nothing from white. Hey, you call them white.
Yeah. We don't need anything. Absolutely. That's why I say the blueprint is there. And the only thing missing is we are the ones who try to be the most law-abiding citizens. And we get angry at us for them, you know, like we be saying, I don't like the drug dealers, this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? And we happy when they get locked up, you know? And we happy with the gang, we happy with the gangbangers. The only ones that I feel comfortable with getting locked up is somebody who will murder somebody for nothing. We don't need them. But
exactly.
because individuals are lost, because you look at, this is another thing. We talk about the Blood and Crips.
Right.
The difference between the Bloods and Crips is, okay, how many of us actually sit down with them and give them guidance? It's a bunch of young cats, some of them older, but they're not astute with, okay, look, you are part of our community. No matter what type of flag you represent, you're part of our community. So your duty is not to that flag. Otherwise, you might as well just went to the army. You know what I'm saying? Your duty is to your people entirely. So because one person wear a red flag and you wear a blue flag, what are y'all beefing over? What is the beef about? How is he your opposition when he's your ally? When both of y'all protect each other, you know where the scenario come from. It's a subconscious psychological effect that is created by the Republicans and the Democrats. What colors are they?
Exactly, red and blue.
so what's happening to
us? Weird.
Yeah, Crips in the blood. So what's happening to us is it's subliminal things that's happening to us that they got us reenacting who they are, but it's hurting us.
Exactly.
So that's all that is. Like, you know, so I hear people say that, but I know my journey. I know my journey when I started off, my whole thing for hustling was because I didn't want to work for the white man. That was my whole reason for doing it. So now, then my other thing was, I'm not trying to give them no jail time for what I'm doing. So if it comes to a point where they're gonna send me to jail, that's when it's time for me to let it go. That's exactly what I did. You know, that's exactly what I did. I let
now,
it go.
Now, unfortunately, some of our brothers take them chances and say, look, man, if I have to go to jail, I have to go to jail. So you be feeding into that, though.
Well, what happens is when a person comes out, most times they don't have a determined idea of,
right.
Okay, this is my limit. Once this happens, I'm done. You know?
Right.
They come out to make money. They start
mm-hmm.
getting money. Then their judgment gets clouded by the money that they make. Before they know it, they done made so much money they can't believe. Now they become a target. Now they invested so, and they didn't have a plan, like an exit plan. How do you exit? You never had an exit plan, you know? So that's what happens to a lot of brothers. And believe it or not, what prepared me for the streets was a movie. And the movie was Superfly. Now, that's
yeah,
what prepared
me. I remember that movie.
Some people think it was about a pimp, but no, he wasn't a pimp. He was a hustler. And he was hustling to get away from the life that he was living.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that was my goal. Like, look, I'm a hustler till I can get a point till I can let it go. You know? And
the crazy thing happened to me, man. I got 90 days in a county jail for some weed. Yo, man, when I got it out of there, they said, you be back. I said, yeah, you're going to have to frame me. Because I sat in that jail, and I thought, this is no place for me, man. They got me in a cage.
Right.
I'm some mad dog, mad animal. And they got me in a cage. And I got out of there. Man, when I went to jail, that was in, like, in 83. And I ain't been back since. I'm like, I ain't playing. And I'm with my boys, man, you cooling me. I know what I want. I know what I don't want.
And that's
I don't
it.
Put my life in there.
And that's the key. And many of us lack two qualities, self-discipline and structure. That's why a lot of us end up in there. We don't have the self-discipline to say, okay, that's enough. I'm done with this. Let me move on to this. The structure, because we don't be able to say, okay, look, I'm going to go, I'm going to work for this amount of time, get this amount of money, you know what I mean? And then I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to hustle, get this amount of money, and then I'm going to let it go. Then I'm going to start working. I'm going to do both, and then I'm going to let this go. You got to have structure, and you got to have the self-discipline.
You're right
about
that.
That's what we're missing. That's what we're missing, and that's why in prison you see guys, they got the structure. So they have to be disciplined because they got structure. Now you got to get up a certain time, you go to bed, you eat a certain time. That's structure. So if you learn structure beforehand, you won't have to go to prison. I spent actually two nights in the county jail. One was because of, you know, hustling, and I wasn't able to bail myself out that night. The other was later on in years where the police just got angry, and we you know, and they kept me because I challenged them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I challenged them because they saw I had Malcolm X or someone on there, and they told me, oh, that's
a nigga
problem.
Challenge.
Yeah, and I challenged them. So they kept me overnight. But those were the only two nights that I spent in jail. And after that, it's like, no, you know, because
you know that movie you were just talking about?
Superfly, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody, like you said, some people think, oh, he a pimp, but I'm like, I'm looking at this movies, I'm like, this is prison life. Because the movie, even though it's a movie, it made you feel like this is what actually happens in prison. It ain't about the brother being... It ain't
yes.
about a brother being
call.
A pimp, about what
let's
happened.
Let me see this call. Let's see who the caller is right now, Miles. Let's see who the caller. Yes, caller. Let's talk about it. Juan, let's talk about it. Hello? I guess we lost him.
Saw that prison movie. I said to myself, if that's how it is in prison, leave me out of there. That was
penitentiary.
Yeah, that was a realistic thing. That thing looked, ooh, Lord.
Penitentiary.
Okay. Yeah, that shit scared the hell out of me, man. I was like, no brothers in there. And these is brothers, like, they protect their turf, and, like, they take your head off, man. Like, you know, I can understand that, being locked up like that, frustrated. People trying to punk you out. You snap.
Right.
And that's another thing. I call that, my brother called it prison. I called it. I said, no, that's another way of slaving. He said, what you mean? I said, these businessmen out here, they buying prisons now.
Right. Exactly. So
yep.
So when you think about it, who has the greatest population in prison?
African Americans.
It's ironic that when it comes to anything that's negative, we seem to be the majority. But when it comes to things that's productive and positive, we're the minorities. So how does that happen? How does that happen that we, when it's something negative, we're the majority, but when it's something positive or productive, we're the minority? So that's not an accident. Right. That's not an accident. However, nowadays, we have to be more intelligent. And the key is, as I said before, we got to get the family structure. See, what we have in two, we have two major issues with our young people. What is happening with our young people is they're being fed sex and murder.
Yeah.
Sex and murder. That's what they're being fed. And we, because many of us have to work for a living, we don't have the time to put in with the children. So now what has to happen is we have to do like the grandparents. We have to step in with the children now, and the grandparents have to start doing the parenting as it used to be back in the day.
Someone just answered a call.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi,
talk to
doing?
Me, sister. Good.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
You have a good topic tonight. I think it's a hard thing to talk about as far as black people, because each generation brings different things to the table. I'm from the 60s, and we were just getting enlightened about how it felt to be black in America. And as the gentleman said, we've seen black stores and black schools and black neighborhoods, and we was moving up, and our parents had jobs, and, you know, we were moving up as a people. The 70s, we got more freer. We brought more drugs into our neighborhoods and stuff, and it made us more laid back and lax, you know. And that's when, you know, like the 80s came, and black people started living together. We started having children, a lot of children on the outside. And I think we lost the specialness of our people. Like you said, our kids, they're not messed up. They don't know. They don't know the importance of. They don't know the importance of being. I'm gonna tell you, my whole life I always said, it's got to be something about us, because it's too many people hate us. What is it that people? And it's not our skin. It's got to be something about who we are that somebody must know the secret about, that they're afraid that if we ever come to knowledge of it, that what we would do with what we are. Because we're the only ones to be put down in life. You know what I mean? Every other country is about class or money, poor, rich. United States is the only ones is about race. It's the only one. And
we more equal. Look, we better at what we do than white America. White America is scared to death of us rising up. Because like you said earlier, in the 70s, we was thriving. Until they pushed them drugs in. And everybody said, we don't need to work, man. We could sell drugs and make more money doing that. And they just stopped doing things.
Yeah, and then, first of all, we have to educate our children from the beginning. We don't have to wait for schools to tell our kids. We have to educate our kids about when you get that diploma in your hand, right then and there, you got to start saving your money, putting your money away. Don't get credit cards. Invest your money into you. Your money has to be invested into you. You're the one who become the best thing in life. Nobody can make you nothing better. It's got to be you. But we don't put that in our kids. We let them graduate. We send them off to college. Most of them don't even make it through the first year. And if some do make it through the first year, then they go until they get to a junior year. They still don't know where they want to be. We don't even tell our kids what's going to be important 4 or 5 years from now. That, like, don't go to school for that because that's not going to even be here then. You know what I mean? Like, we have to start educating our kids of what's going on. And all this kids being out and up to 1 o'clock in the morning and all on the laptop, but they're not using the laptop for educational. They're using it for to see who's the best dance out, the best clothes, who could twerk, what's going on, other people's business. There's no business out there. We don't have time for that. Time is winding down. We're becoming a lost generation because we're not thinking that we letting everybody grow and we just still here. We got to wake
up. Another thing we do against our kids is really, like, disturbing to me, too, is, like, when we get our young kids, they turn into athletes. Some of them can't even read or write, but they could ball now. And white America come along and say, hey, we give you $1 million. We give you a billion. You make us $100 million. And as soon as your son get hurt in that game and he can't play no more, what he going to do? He can't get no good job because he ain't educated.
And then
we have a tendency to take the money we make from them. And what do? We go out there, buy these big, huge houses, big $500,000-$600,000 cars instead of investing in real estate, owning our own property.
When they become athletes, what happens to them? They forget about us. All they want is a white woman on their side. And then we got to hear later on how she took everything from them and did them wrong, but Jay Bubbles was black. You know.
Well, that's another thing about that too. According to some of the sports legends, they say that when they get to play that good, them white men who own them, they think they own them anyway. They act like, look how they took Kyrie Irving. They own them. They put them into a situation where that they never been before. You know, fancy houses. All this and that and that and that. And all you see is all these, like you said, these women come around and they get paid to come around and get these guys' heads swelled up to stay on this side of town. Don't go back on the hood because something happened to you. You get arrested or you get in trouble. They go your contract and then the man mad because he can't make no more money off you. So they try to keep you out of them neighborhoods.
Yeah, because
some of us go back to try to do positive things, then we end up run into some jealous brothers who pissed off at you because you're a millionaire and you come around and say, oh, you think you this, you think. And that's another thing. We got to stop being jealous of each other. Lift each other up. If that brother doing good, you should be happy for him.
Well, that's something we have to work on.
My granddaughter, she was going out with this guy. He was a good basketball player. Like you said, she helped him through school, helped them get into college, you know, schooled them. They went to different colleges. She wouldn't talk to nobody else. She stayed, did her work and everything. Then what happened? He got big, called her up, told her he going out with somebody. Then she found a picture. It was a white girl. My granddaughter lost her mind. See, this is the things that we do. We help people up, and then they forget about you, and then they leave you to pick up the pieces. We got to stop hurting each other. We already got, like you said, we already got scars from years and years of hurt from our parents, from our grandparents. We're never going to get healed as a people if we still keep, like you said, pushing each other down, knocking each other out, stabbing each other. Let me tell you, we work with different nationalities every day. And you know what? Like this one told me one day, he said, we don't like each other, but we're not going to hurt each other, and we're going to keep doing for each other. So now, if these other nationalities could work together and put together and help each other lift up, why can't we? You don't have to love each other, but why we just can't be for each other? That's it.
Listen, the thing is, the biggest part, the biggest issue for us is those nationalities, if you watch them, they're close family oriented. They do a lot of things together as a family. We tend to go our separate ways as family. We do this, you into this, I'm into that. We don't do a lot of family things. So what happens is, because you don't have that innate family structure, it's difficult to, once you get out, to kind of build that. So this is where it starts at. The family is the nucleus of the community. So we have to start doing more things as a family to get people used to having families. A lot of us come from broken families, so it's easy to walk away. It's easy to walk away if you grew up in a house and your mother and father separated. You don't know that, okay, my father and mother ain't stay together, so I ain't got to stay with this girl. So this is the type of things that are happening. Anything that's happened to us, it's a reason behind it.
And we have to understand
the reason in order to fix it.
And another thing about that too, man, whatever happened to the family reunions we used to have? Remember them?
I mean,
the whole family gets together, other families across country, across town, and you don't hardly even hear about them anymore.
I mean, now the reunions become funerals.
Yeah.
You know? That's when you see people. Mm-hmm. And see, these are the things that we're talking about now, are things that we can fix. We can fix amongst ourselves. When it comes to laws and how the laws is, we are unable to fix those until we fix ourselves. There's certain things we got to fix amongst ourselves. Like, you know, running out there saying, oh, we want them to change the laws, change how they treat us. First, we got to start treating each other better.
And you know who said it better?
Each other better. Go ahead.
Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Right, right.
Got to make a change.
So that's what we have to do. Like, with this podcast, we can start with this podcast by doing things, start something with this podcast where we start showing, okay, some initiative. You know what I mean? The biggest thing for us is we've been burnt so many times to we lack trust, to we lack being able to put money together to make things happen. That's what's going to help us. We need to be able to put our finances together to make things happen. At the end of the day, if you got a daughter, mother, son, you know, uncle, aunts, if everybody put their money together, you could start buying stuff. Like you said, with the Latino family, we have to be able to put the money together. And if you don't want nobody to hold it, get an account where everybody got their name on it, where everybody got a sign to get the money, or at least three people got a sign to get the money out, but anybody can put the money in. We need to change our financial status. My thing was, when I was on that block hustling, and I used to say to my guys that was out there with me, look, we out here hustling, but I'm not trying to be out here risking my life for nothing. At the end of the day, we out here so we can buy this whole, we're going to buy this whole block. That was my mentality. Let's buy this whole block so that when the cops come, we don't have to move because we own it. You know?
Our own property.
Unfortunately, my guys didn't see it at that time. However, I got with my wife, and me and my wife did it. Me and my wife got a property, started off like that. So the same block that I hustled on is the same block I brought property on. And
see how a good woman comes along, you get a good woman in your life changes.
Well, But in order to be a good woman, we have to be good men too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because plenty of us get good women, but we bad men. So
we got to respect. We got to realize.
Yeah. So we got to be able to, you know, this is the problem. Like right now, what's happening between young people, and I don't know if you was on the call, Lisa, when I said that what they're selling to the young people is sex and murder. You know what I'm saying? They're not promoting love to the young people. And we have to do that. We have to start taking time out as grandparents, as parents, and start letting them listen to some of the stuff that we used to listen to.
Like us, the three of us, when a young person is in our presence, like, you know, working with us or whatever, you know, in our job, we have to take that opportunity to some time to not set them straight, but give them knowledge of that they're not going in the right way. But we let them think of it on their own, but we got to stop letting our kids or people that we know say things that's not going to lead them to a better place. Because a lot of our youth, they come to jobs and they talk about the outside and what's going on. And I tell like them, I said, look, when you walk in the door, all that other stuff is outside. It's about your job. You can't be better for yourself if you somewhere thinking about a whole bunch of other things. Life is about going forward. Like, whatever you done did outside, leave it at the door, pick it up when you go back outside. Too much, you know, the phone, all day long on the phone. You know what I mean? Talking to people who ain't working. Talking to people who ain't about nothing. You know what I mean? Like, how can you concentrate and better yourself at your job and you got the phone? Some things are good, the things they made for us in these years. But you got to make it that it's for the betterment, not for to make it you weaker, but better. Like two girls would tell, cause like you said, two girls was talking on a job, and they was talking about these two shows, and they show the guys having sex and whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know, is that really important when, like, if you're not having that type of sex at home, why you want to see it, or why you want, you know what I mean? Like, don't entertain things that's going to put you off track of where you need to go. We need to go further. Sex going to always be there. It ain't even going to be all that when you get older. So, I mean, like, it's better to get your life together, like you said, get your money right, get whatever you want in life right, and then worry about all that stuff that ain't going to mean nothing when you get to an age that you're going to be like, Dad, where was I? Why I didn't do this? Why I didn't do that? You know what I mean? You can't go back on regret.
See what my man was just saying, make a point there, because these kids think if you have all the sex you have, you're a man. I'm the man. If you take a body, yo, man, I'm a man. Even it's like they think that's the big part of their life. I got to be a sexual person, and if I take a body, I get big respect. And everything else, I always ask kids, why do you think that way? You know, what makes you feel like that? You know, I don't chat time. I just asked him a question. Why do you think you got
to
do
you
that?
You got to think. But you got to think. You got to think. At some point, we dropped the ball. At some point, we dropped the ball. So at some point, whether it's, you know, us having to work a lot or us going through a bad relationship, some point the ball was dropped where they didn't get the guidance that they needed. That's why you saying, Lisa, that we need to guide them. A lot of them haven't had proper guidance.
I even tell brothers who break up with their girl, like, yo, man. No, he start cussing. I said, why are you cussing out? Man, she got like, if it don't work between you two, why are you going to be upset about it, bro? It didn't work. You don't have to hate each other. You got kids, especially if you got kids. You know, if it don't work out, it don't work out. Move on, but don't be yelling at each other, treating each other like they the enemy. You had a relationship. It didn't work out. So why are you going to hate this person and hate that person? And it just get worse.
But you know what that's about, though. You know what that's about. Unfortunately, one person don't want the relationship to end. And if that person don't want the relationship to end, then it's anger. It's anger it's pain. Really, it's pain, and the pain turned to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you walked away from me, and I wasn't ready for you to walk away from me.
And then the kid stuck in the middle.
Right. The child suffered because what happens a lot of times, if the woman decides to leave, whoever decides to leave, the other person used the child as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If it's the man says, oh, I ain't going to do nothing for him. You don't want to be with me. I ain't doing nothing for the child. If it's if the woman wants the man, she'd be like, oh, you can't see the child. So these are the things that we have to discuss. Like, people, we don't discuss certain things. Like, instead of talking about basketball and football games, we need to be talking about life issues. So that's what we have to do. Like, I've been on blocks and just hear a bunch of idle talk. You know what I mean? When I was on the block, I used to have the cats wanting to walk away from me because even though I was doing dirt, I was still putting guidance. I was still talking about the same stuff that I'm talking about now. I was still talking about that type of stuff then.
You know my mother.
I was doing what I was doing.
My mother had 7 boys and 7 girls, right? She took us to set it down. She asked us the brothers, who would we put first? You know, if we had a choice, who would we choose between her, our wife or our girlfriend? And we all said, we'll pick you. She said, see, that's why y'all ignorant. We said, what? She said, first of all, I know you love me, but that girl could be the mother of your kids.
Right.
She could be your future, and you're going to put me ahead of her? You don't do that. You never put no one ahead of your girl or your wife, because moms always know their kids love them. And we sat there and looked at it like, dang, that's
she
heavy.
And then also,
we have to start learning, not as much as men, but women, we got to start knowing what our worth is. Like, our worth is way more valuable than sitting around and letting men abuse us or say whatever they want to say to us. We don't have to go outside and go to a party and shake our butt or whatever. A guy know what a butt going to do by now. I mean, if he don't, then he needs to go back to school. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's
you're right.
It's desirable. Don't get me wrong. But the thing is, after the fact, when he really see what you got, then it's over with. And then you be like, oh, well, we threw down last night, but he ain't call me or he ain't text me. Well, you done showed him everything. It wasn't nothing that he didn't see. We got to start closing up stuff and closing the factory up and start saying, look, and don't get me wrong for saying this, brothers, but like people, the song say, when you can start paying one of the envelopes to come in the mail or put stuff in my refrigerator or gas in my car, and it ain't all about giving us, but I'm saying if you worthy to be able to give us that, then you worthy to get our body, which is our,
exactly.
You know, you always say it's our, temple.
Sister,
your body is your
temple.
I
agree with you. I totally agree with you that sisters sell themselves short for sex, and then that's all they get, and the cat bounce. Or they mess around, and the cat show them a good time just to get the sex, and then they spend money just to get the sex. Then once they get the sex, they bounce. And the reason being because women are showing, like you said, women are showing everything. Like you're seeing all of it. So you already in sex mode. You ain't even in trying to get to know you mode. You trying to get in bed mode. So that's what's happening. But we done ran out of time again, brother and sister.
All right.
You know, I thank you guys for calling as usual. Yeah, I'm gonna tune in to you guys Sunday, man. I'm gonna tune in. I want you guys to check my Facebook, subscribe to my Facebook. That's at @AndreHill, the number 9. That's at @AndreHill, the number 9.
All right.
With that being said, I'd like to thank everyone who took the time out of their day to listen to us. And I close it as usual. I pray that all of you who are on the lines listening, that our hearts and minds grow closer towards each other and closer towards our family members so that we will be able to move beyond our differences and focus on learning to love, forgive, and work together towards building a better world for us all. With that being said, I would like to thank you all for taking out the time to spend these precious moments with us. And anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. And anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me. And I ask your forgiveness. God bless you. Have a great night. I love you all. Until next Wednesday.
Asalaamu Alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum Salaam.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go outside. Somebody keep telling me, don't hang on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. And I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. Now I think I'm able to carry on.
It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.